Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we now sing of your goodness, Lord. Our hearts are full of gratitude, Father, and appreciation of your goodness. As we come to share your word very briefly on Thanksgiving, I pray you will anoint me afresh. Help me speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Put the same unction on the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present here, as well as those who will hear me remotely, electronically. Fill every single heart with a fresh revelation of thanksgiving, of appreciation of the goodness that you show to humanity. In our creation, in our sustenance, in all that you do for us. Help us to truly give thanks with a grateful heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Please, you may be seated. As we announced at the beginning, the welcome of the service, this is a special service that is dedicated to Thanksgiving. And we've already started. We started with our normal praise and worship. We've taken up our normal offering. Your normal offering is not your Thanksgiving offering. So please, you know, you need to make that distinction. We're going to be giving thanks for different varieties of things. But I will share a short word of exhortation, and then we're going to be praying for some special birth. We're going to pray for birthdays generally, and we're going to pray for some special birthdays and wedding anniversaries before we begin the Thanksgiving. As our custom is, we're going to thank God different areas of the church and different areas and different groups will come with it for their Thanksgiving. Now, what is Thanksgiving? It is a spiritual and physical sacrifice to bless and refresh God. Now that may sound strange to people. How can you bless God? I thought the Bible says the less is blessed of the, you know, the less is blessed by the greater. So if God is greater than me, how can I bless God? But the scriptures tell us in Luke chapter 24, this is the last verse, in verse 53. He said they did not depart from the temple. They were praising and blessing God. What does it mean to bless God? Turn to your neighbor and say, what in the world does it mean to bless God? How can you bless God? Well, I'm going to tell you the answer he just told me. It means to bless God. Just bless God. You know, when you bless somebody, you do something for them that they like, that they appreciate. For instance, if you bought a car for a friend, you say, I just wanted to bless you with this car. I just want to bless you with this. I want to bless you with that. So to bless God is to give God something he desires, something that will fill his heart with joy. I think one aspect of God that many of us forget sometimes, sometimes we don't know it, and when we do know it, it becomes obscure to us in our perceptions. when we relate to him, is that God is a person and he has emotions just like us. In fact, God is the original, we are the copy. Everything that is inside God is inside us. God can feel sad. God can feel I'm looking for a word, you know, to express this. You know, let me use what the Bible says. God can feel grieved. You know, God can get exasperated. So I said, how can God get exasperated? He can. He does. You know, he told the children of Israel, he said, these people, they've tempted me these 10 times. One other place, you know, that's why I thank God for the Bible. You know, it tells us what God is really like. He said one time, he said to his people, to his disciples, Jesus was the one who said this, but Jesus, you know, was reflecting the same way God was feeling. He said, how long will I suffer you? That's exasperation. You know, how long will I put up with you? So God's like that. And on the positive side, he's also, you know, he gets blessed when we do things that touch his heart. Like when David told God that he was going to build him a house, the thing hit God's heart. Because God said, I never asked anybody. There was never a commandment to say to build me a house. But David just thought about it. He said, look, I live in a house of paneled wood. And the ark is under a skin, you know, just tent. He said, no, this is not good enough. I'm going to build a house for God. That thing touched God so much that God made a covenant with David and promised that the Christ would come through him. And in spite of David's terrible errors, that singular fact of what David did that day made God look for a way. He's still chasing David, don't misunderstand me. So don't go and say, if you do something great for God, then that gives you an excuse to sin. Certainly not. David was chastened for the rest of his life, and his life was cut short. David died at the age of 70, just 70, barely, you know, whereas he should have lived to 120. Minimum. David could have been 50 years extra. All that happened would never have happened, but that's another story for another day. But the point is, he touched God's heart. So God said, well, I'm going to deal with you, but I will, you know, I will chasten you, but I will not kill you. I'll not give you over to death, at least not immediately. You know? So when you touch God's heart, that's how you bless God. So when we come to thank God, it's a spiritual and a physical sacrifice. Let's deal with the spiritual first. See, in the Old Testament, they would bring bullocks and goats and, you know, animals and sacrifice it unto the Lord. But in the New Testament, we do not give animal sacrifice anymore. We give spiritual sacrifices according to God's word. You know, let's look at Psalm 50. Good to put some Bible behind this. Psalm 50. And we'll look at verse 14. There's a lot in there, but I just want to focus on the very crucial things. It says, offer unto God thanksgiving. I didn't hear you. And pay thy vows unto the Most High. I'm going to come back to pay thy vows in a minute. Everybody say, offer unto God thanksgiving. In this same Psalm 50, God said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. He said, am I going to drink the blood of the bulls and goats? That's why it's a spiritual sacrifice. In the New Testament, it is the fruit of our lips, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. He says, we offer up spiritual sacrifices. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. That really says it in a beautiful way. Hebrews, written again by Paul, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13, I believe it's verse 15. And Paul says, by him, therefore, I didn't hear you. Turn to your neighbor and say, by who? Say, by the Lord Jesus Christ. By him, therefore, let us offer the what? To pray of praise to God once in a while. I used to wonder years ago how practical this was. Because I was, and still am, by the grace and the mercy of God, I'm honest with God and the Bible. And I try and figure, can you really do this? When the Bible says, you know, I should do something. I was like, is it actually possible? And now, today, by the grace and the mercy of God, with many of the things God has taught me, and the way I pray, and I'm praying without ceasing, I find it's really, really true. You know, I can't tell you how many times a day I say thank you to God. I'm doing it all the time. There's no prayer I pray now that doesn't have thanksgiving inside. By now I pray a little bit, even in tongues and all that, I put some thanksgiving inside. Even with my thoughts. I pray a lot with my thoughts. You know, Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. Oh, please do this for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Continually. I didn't hear you. Oh, scream it, somebody. The sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips doing what? Giving thanks to His name. That's the fruit of our lips. You see, what is coming out of you is Zoe. The same life that God put inside you. So when you come to say thank you, you're giving God back some of the life He has given to you. And when it enters His heart, it refreshes Him. Because everything originally came from Him. So in a sense, please, what I'm about to say is heavy. And don't misunderstand it. You know, the Bible says, they that are unlearned and unstable, they wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. In a sense, God diminished Himself to make things. You see, everything God made, He took out from Himself. So, what He had in Himself reduced, so to speak. So, when you give it back to God, you refresh Him. It's a fact. The Bible actually says so. You know, in the book of I think it's in Exodus, somewhere in the Old Testament, the Torah, it says that God blessed the Sabbath day, and He blessed and sanctified, and He rested, for He created the heavens and earth in 7 days, and the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. Some don't believe that God can be refreshed. He's God, Almighty God, yeah? Please give me that scripture. I think it's Exodus chapter 30, somewhere in there. One of the big Bible guys, get it for me and give it to me. You know, check in your Bibles and give it to me. Was it? 31:17. There you go. Exodus, everybody turn with me. Exodus chapter 31, and I believe it's verse 17. Yes. It is a sign between me and children of Israel forever. For 6 days the Lord made heaven and the seventh day He rested and was what? It means He had been spending energy. Then that seventh day he did not release as much energy as He did the first 6 days. So there was a replenishing. There was a refreshing. God was refreshed. It's just like you and I. Maybe you go and play football or you go and do some work, some labor, then you come back to the house, you know, to relax. Then somebody gives you, you know, a cold glass of water. When you take that water, it refreshes you. Or you're feeling hot, you stay in front of the fan or an air conditioner, it refreshes you. That's what praise and thanksgiving does to God. It refreshes Him the same way water or breeze refreshes us after intense labor. It's a reality. It's a spiritual reality. And you need to understand it so that you can actually minister to the Lord. That's another expression you don't hear very often today. Minister to the Lord. The word minister means to serve. You see, you minister to men when you pray for them, you know, when I'm preaching like this, I'm ministering to you, you know. But there is a place to minister to God. Where in your own private closet, as well as publicly like this, where you just take time just to worship God. Just to, Lord, I love you. Sing a song to Him. What are you doing? You're ministering to Him. You're refreshing Him. Because the scripture tells us in Romans chapter 11, it says, of Him, through Him, and to Him are all things. Like I explained earlier, because everything comes out from God. So, when His creation gives back to Him, it refreshes Him. It refreshes Him. It's a spiritual reality. And you need to know, that's why the Bible tells us. No wonder why Jesus said so. And He should know, because He's the second person of the Godhead. Though even He wasn't speaking as omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent God. He was speaking as a man stripped of his divine attributes, but with revelation of what God was like. He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him in spirit and in truth. He said, for the Father seeketh. It's something that God is looking for. It's important to him. He seeketh such to worship him. Understand it. And so make sure you do it personally, your prayer life, on a daily basis. Every day. I want to say this publicly. I don't normally say it, but I'll say it publicly because I want you to copy my example. Not because I want you to think I'm something else. No, I want you to copy my example so that it can be better for you. Every day. I've been doing this for some years now. I worship God personally in my room. My wife is not there, just me. Then I lie on my face. I do it deliberately. I lie on my face, not for too long, maybe like 2-3 minutes, you know, and say, Father, I just came just to appreciate you. I worship and I wait on you. And I just stay still. And I acknowledge the Father. I spend like 1 or 2 minutes for the Father. I do this deliberately. Then I go to the Son. I do another minute or two. And I go to the Holy Spirit. I do it every day. The Holy Spirit was the one who taught me some years ago. He said, you know, I used to worship God before. He said, but give me, just sanctify some time. He said, I don't need a long time. But I need it. I need it. God needs it. He needs it. He seeketh such to worship him. So, that is why this particular service, we do it only once in a year, where the entire service is dedicated just to thanksgiving. We're just going to minister to the Lord in our thanksgiving and singing and all of that, to appreciate what he did for us in the year that has just gone by. And I like what Pastor Andrew picked on, you know, while the choir was ministering, you know, about David. You know, the Bible says he danced with all his might. That's the physical part. I've dealt with the spiritual part. There's also a physical sacrifice. It's not the killing of animals now, but clapping, dancing, you know, with all your might. It's a sacrifice. Because it's taking energy out of you. It's going to cost you in time. It's going to cost you in strength. And that's what David did. The Bible said he danced before the Lord with all his might. And God was very impressed. And on spiritual people like Micah, that silly girl, you know, God have mercy and forgive me, you know, was you know, she was thinking, she was so self-centered and self-conceited, all she could think of was her own honor. And David didn't disgrace himself. He wasn't naked. He was not dressed inappropriately. All he did was took off his kingly robes and he danced with a linen ephod. A linen ephod is what the priests used to wear. But in David's time, although David was not of the tribe of Levi, he was of the tribe of Judah. But because David was a type of Christ, he had the kingly anointing and he also had a priestly anointing, even though he was not an official Levitical priest. And so he was operating as a New Testament king priest. So he took his clinging cloth, but he still had his linen ephod on. And with that, he now danced before the Lord. And God was so impressed. And an unspiritual woman like Micah was thinking, oh, look, all the girls were seeing you. He wasn't naked. He was just like, you know, he had just had shorts, the linen ephod, because it's just white, you know, that the priest used to wear. And he wasn't indecent. But she was so concerned that all the people had seen my husband and seen his legs and saying, so what? Let's give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Not to Micah. To David. You know, be careful that you don't get so self-centered that you're thinking about just yourself and what you like, and you become, you know, oblivious or what matters to God becomes obscure to you. That's what self-centeredness does. And so it's something you have to be very careful about. And so we give thanks to God, you know, with our mouths, the spiritual sacrifice, and then there's also the physical sacrifice, which involves clapping. It will involve dancing. You know, we're going to do a lot of that. We've already started, you know, that initial time of praise worship was very, very good, you know. But we're also going to, there's a third thing we do, which is giving. I heard somebody say this. He said, thanks, everyone say thanksgiving. I didn't hear you. Everyone say thanks. They say giving. Say thanks. Giving. I went somewhere yesterday, and one of the pastors, you know, was talking about this. And he said it in a nice way that I hadn't heard before, you know. And I said, you know, that's true. Thanks and giving are married together. You cannot say thanks without giving. I didn't hear you. That's why it's thanksgiving. So if you say thanks and you don't give, you haven't done thanksgiving. Give the Lord a clap offering. It's a good one. So, I you know, that's why I've preached this over the years, but I've never separated, you know, with that type of clarity. You know, so in addition to clapping and dancing, which are physical, we also give cash. We give physically to God. And there's some scriptures God gave me this morning as I was preparing and praying and meditating. And I tell you, the Bible says, you know, that we should give our vows to God. Pay our vow. What is a vow? It is something that you have told God you are going to give. Then you must, that's why you use the word pay, because it's like money. It is money. Look at Psalm 50 again, verse 14. We looked at it, and I said we're going to come back to it. Psalm 50, yes, verse 14. Now, you get a complete picture. Say, offer unto God thanksgiving. I didn't hear you. And, everybody's screaming, pay! Everybody say, pay! Say, the only thing you pay is money, isn't it? So he's talking about money. Talk to your neighbor, say, pay! He's talking about money! Pay! Pay thy vows unto the Most High. So, thanksgiving is not complete without giving of money. I know the prosperity people have pushed the whole thing upside down, and I'm a prosperity man myself. But you know, we can't say because some people misuse something, then all of us neglect it. There's nothing wrong in thanksgiving, giving, if it's done properly. You know, I don't overemphasize money here and all of that. But this is very important. And there was a scripture the Lord gave me this morning, you know, in fact, two or three, and I'm going to close with these three. Look at Psalm 76. The Psalms is full of it. It's full of it. Psalm 76. And look at verse 11. Psalm 76. Look at verse 11. It says, vow! I didn't hear you. And pay unto the Lord. Let all. I didn't hear you. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's you. And that's me. All. Even me, pastor, I've given something this morning. Yesterday, you know, I had an incident, so I had to send somebody to go and collect some money from me, from the ATM. Then the Lord reminded me, said, you know, you have thanksgiving today, collect. So I did, you know, and that's what I've been using. You know, of course, I also give online, you know, which is digital. You know, pay! Don't come to God empty-handed. God doesn't like it. Let me just take a slight digression, just very slight, but I'm going to say, you know, the reason why tithes and offerings, we dealt with this last week, we touched on it rather, we didn't deal with it, but I touched on it, is so important to God, is this thing, is a part of thanksgiving. Listen to this, you come to church, he that hath an ear, let him hear. You come to church. You sit down where you are sitting down. I'm going to use myself, you know, so that, you know, I'm not misunderstood. And I get up here and I preach by the grace and the mercy of God. I teach revelation knowledge and all of that. Where do you think it all came from? I've given hours. I'm talking about me, Olubi Johnson, now. I've given hours in prayer. You know, maybe like, you know, averagely every day I pray, averagely 5-6 hours a day, minimum. On days where I pray more. Usually after I do the early morning prayer, which is about 3-4 hours, I usually do another 2-3 hours in the day. Because I pray for many things. I just tell you. Again, I want you to learn from my example. 1 hour every day is for my wife, dedicated. 1 hour every day is for my children, dedicated. 1 hour every day is for myself, dedicated. Not those ones are unshakable. Then, if I have service or anything, then I pray for the services. I pray, you know, for what I'm coming to do and all of that. So by the time you add it up every day, you know, it's about 6 hours. That is why the Bible says, it's years later, I'm realizing all the vital importance of all of these things. He says that they should give themselves continually. If you are true full-time pastor, you should not be spending anything less than 5 to 6 hours every day in prayer. That's your workplace. Oh, I didn't hear anybody say. That's your workplace. That's your office. Every other thing is an aside. So, the part, like myself, I'm going to use myself. And I'm going to say what Paul said. I, yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. And you know, Paul didn't say that just to impress us, so that we would think that he's humble. He's telling you because it's a fact. There's something my wife always says. She said it a few days ago, maybe last Sunday, if I remember rightly. She said, it's not because, you know, last Sunday we did the communion. We said we should check ourselves and all that, you know. And we're all thanking God for preserving us in 2021 from all the COVID and all of these things. And says, it's not because we're better than other people. Mommy always says this thing. It's not because we're better than another person. It's not because we're more holy or more righteous. She said, because it's of your mercy and of your grace. And then the Lord said to me, he said, go and explain it better to them. See, this woman here, by the grace and the mercy of God, you know, spends about almost the same time as I do, maybe a little bit less, you know, in prayer every day. 3-4 hours. Now, God said to, I should explain to you, we weren't preserved because we are better than other people. We're preserved because of the mercy and the grace of God. But, listen! What does mercy do? It helps you to be preserved and to be faithful. What does grace do? It gives you strength to labor. He said, I labored more than they all. So the reason why you are preserved and other people were not preserved was the mercy and the grace of God. Watch this, that you did not receive in vain. Mercy is on everybody. Some receive it in vain. They don't use it. Let the mercy of God, by the mercy of God, I have been faithful. The people receive the grace of God. Paul said, don't receive the grace of God in vain. You can receive the grace of God as you don't use it for what it's supposed to be. The purpose of the grace is to help you labor in prayer. It is the people that use the mercy of God and are used to be faithful and the grace of God to labor that he preserves. So it is true that it is the mercy and the grace of God that preserves us. But it's because the mercy and the grace of God were not received in vain. And bank it. Because a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, it doesn't matter what I do. After all, the grace and the mercy of God. If that was, everybody would be preserved. Don't forget that every blessing of God is conditional. Don't let anybody fool you. Every blessing is conditional. Psalm 91, protection is all conditional. He that dwelleth. It's not automatic. Let me paraphrase it in light of what I've just shared with you. He that useth the mercy and the grace of God to dwell in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. 1,000 will fall at their right hand, and 10,000, and it will not come near them. It's conditional. But it's by the mercy. That is absolutely correct. That's what faith guys forget. You know, you just say, my faith, is the mercy of God. It's the grace of God. Even that faith that you think you have is the grace of God. And that is why when you are successful in faith and you're victorious, if you understand it properly, you will never boast. Because you understand that if not for the mercy and the grace of God, you couldn't have been faithful. You couldn't even have labored the way you should have labored. I never helped anybody there. That's something you need to take home and put it in the bank for 2022. Are you listening to me? I got to close. So you need to, give spiritually in terms of, you know, your singing and all of that. Then you give physically, you know, clapping, dancing, and then you give of your tithes and offering. So the pastor, like me, comes and I come and I preach to you. With all that labor I have done, I yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me, the mercy of God. And then you get all that blessing, and then you don't pay. You're a robber. That's why he said in the book of Malachi. That's the work. That's his work. The guy has spent 3, 4, 5 hours in prayer. He comes and ministers to you. You get blessed. And then when it comes to tithe and offering, you hold it back. Mercy, Lord. I'm not saying that for me so I can gain something. I'm saying that for your benefit. The reason why a lot of people are not living under an open heaven and why they're not getting revelation knowledge is because they don't give their tithes and offerings. Because it is the guy who gives the first fruits of his increase. He says, his presence will burst forth with new wine. A type of revelation knowledge. You can pray all you want. You can confess all you want. If you don't pay your tithes and offering, the heaven will be closed. So it's a threefold key. Prayer is important. Fasting is important. Reading your Bible is important. And paying your tithes is important. All the three of them work together. Then you can live over an open heaven. Then you can get revelation. That's why you need to pay your vows. I didn't hear you. Pay, vow, and pay unto the Lord your God. And let all that are around him bring presents. It's important, very important to God. So it's not just, talk. You must also give. Look at the people around Jesus. All those women, the Bible says they ministered to him of their substance. Jesus was full time. He was a carpenter for the first 30 years. Those 3 years, he wasn't in carpenter shop anymore. How were they? Watch this. You had to be a man of great financial means to sustain the kind of life Jesus lived. At any point in time, Jesus had minimum 12 to 70 people with him. If you just come into your house, you are in big trouble. The amount of money you are going to spend on preparing food and to take care of them, back in the Middle East, back in those days, they used to eat well. They would sit on that's why they called him a wine bibber. And they would sit, they would recline. Then they will bring they have it in courses. That's where we get all this 3-course meal from. They will first of all eat this one. Then they will bring dates. Then they will bring fish. Then they will bring meats. Then they will bring this one. Then sometimes it takes 3-4 hours. It is while they are eating and talking, Jesus will be telling them parables. Then they will ask him, he will say, Simon, he said, shall who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God? He said, Simon. I will tell you something. I came to your house, you didn't give me anything to do. But this woman came and she's washed all my feet. He said, for many shall come from the north and from the east and from the west, and that they will eat bread. He's talking literal. in the kingdom of God. And they were sitting with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the kingdom, the children of the kingdom, be thrust out. It was while they were eating. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus ate. Jesus slept. Jesus wept. Say, Jesus was human. Give the Lord a clap offering. So, that's why you have to give your tithes and your offerings. When you don't pay your vows, you're a robber. Literally. It's like somebody who goes to a doctor or to a lawyer, and they give you all the medication and everything. Then they ask you to come and pay your bills. And then you say you're not going to pay. The business will crumble. So it is in the spirit. I don't know if I've helped anybody there. Last scripture, hopefully. Look at Psalm 66. Am I helping anybody here? Psalm 66. And verses 13 and 14. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. Now, in those days, it was animals. Today is cash. We don't use animals. I will pay thee my what? I didn't hear you. Why don't we like saying this pay? Pay ye. Doesn't come out of our mouth. Everybody say, I will pay. So that I say it again. Pastor Wega is laughing. I will pay my vows. Verse 14 is very telling. Which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in. A clap offering for the Lord. You know, human beings are so fickle and ungrateful. It's the satanic nature in the heart. You know, people forget. You will do good to people, they will forget. Jesus healed 10 lepers. Only one came back to say thank you. I've preached it before over the years. And there is a reason why. Because it was going to take effort to find him. They were afar off. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus didn't pray for it. He just said, go and show yourself to the priests. Go and show yourself. I just kept walking. So if he was here now, 5 minutes later, he'll probably be somewhere else. So they didn't get to the synagogue. It was on the way to the synagogue that they found out that they had been healed. All the nine who were here, they ran to their house. What is back way? Don't forget what your mouth vowed when you were in trouble. The one, I'm healed. So he rushes back. But by the time he gets there, Jesus has gone. So he had to take effort and ask people, that's Rabbi from Nazareth. You know, he just healed us. I saw there are people. They just moved it. So he took time. It took effort for him to find out where Jesus was, then go on his face and come to say thank you. That's the difference. One made a sacrifice. The others didn't. So when we say pay your vow, it means a lot to God. You need to make a sacrifice. What your mouth spoke when you were in trouble. God, if you help me with this, then I will help you, you know. Then you get it, and then you forget God. Or you pay him a pittance. I like what Derek Prince. Let's give Derek Prince a super clap offering. I never forget what he said. Don't tip God. He's not your waiter. They didn't get it, Pastor Bigger. I said, don't tip God. The response shows me that people don't understand what I'm talking about. When you go to a restaurant, you know, or somewhere, and a waiter serves you, you know, if your bill is 5,000 naira, you can give the waiter 100 naira. It's a tip because you appreciate the way he served you. God is not your waiter. So don't bring an offering that is just a tip. Don't tip God. Honor him. Pay the vow that you uttered when your mouth was in trouble. Everybody stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We're going to continue with the Thanksgiving service. Now, what we're going to... Sit down. I've forgotten this. Well, it's good to see you. Give the Lord a clap offering. Stand to your feet. Give him a clap offering. And say, Lord, thank you for a better understanding of Thanksgiving. Everybody say it. Say it. And I vow to practice Thanksgiving better than I've been doing it. And I will pay my vow in Jesus' name. Now you can be seated. Amen. So many Christians are so unfaithful. They don't pay their vows. I want the man of God to be laboring, and then they will not give. I said this to some people. I said, do you know if everybody in the church, not just scripture pastor, and I'm talking about the whole church world, if people were faithful in paying their tithes and offerings as they ought to, the church will have billions, if not trillions, of naira, dollars. Pastors will not be thinking about money. They won't be. There'll be enough money for them to live better than any CEO in any company. All the assistant pastors, their children, their education, everything will be taken care of. That's how it's supposed to be. Because that's what they labor for. See, all these my pastors here, to the glory of God. Many of them are not full-time. Some of them are, you know. They spend hours. The only way you can become a pastor and scripture pastor is if you labor in prayer. Period. And thanks for Mommy Sarah here. Give her a clap offering. I didn't say stand up. I said give her a clap offering. Sit down. You cannot become a pastor in this church if you don't go through that route of intercession. Because that's what a pastor does. Continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Averagely, these men, even though they are, many of them are, have other, you know, jobs that they do, you know, averagely every day, they spend 2 to 3, 4 hours in prayer. Minimum. Then the ones who are full-time spend even longer. You know, Pastor Boyega, Pastor Andrew, they do Africa prayers, Pastor Wally, you know, they do, you know, all of them. Pastor Larry, Pastor Kunle, even though they're in school, don't be fooled though. Pastor Tunji, they're all praying. They spend time working, then they also spend quality time. They lead the teachers in prayer. Quality time. That's what it takes. So you cannot be a pastor in this kind of church, you know, which is the correct kind of church, to the glory of God. So I sent something, I'm going to send it to you guys after the service today. I sent it to the pastors yesterday. One guy was preaching and teaching, you know, on, we have one more year, you know, similar to what I taught some months ago. And I had never heard it before, you know. I just stumbled on it a few days ago. And I said, my wife, look at this. You like this, you know. And the guy was saying that, you know, he said, the Philadelphia church. That's how it should be. We should be giving, you know, and paying our vows unto the Lord.